ధవళావకుండనవటీం తేజోమయీం నైష్టికీం స్నిగ్ధాపాంగవిలోకినీం భగవతీం మందస్మితశ్రీముఖీ వాత్సల్యామృతవర్షిణీం సుమధురం సంకీర్తనాలాపినీం శ్యామాంగీ మధురిక్తసూక్తిం అమృతానందాత్మికామీశ్వరీ. So we spoke about, like Shankara spoke about, the state of Vijnani or Jivan Mukta. So tata sadhana nirmuktah siddho bhavati yogira tatswarupam nachetasya vinayu manasu giram. So such a person's state cannot be known or expressed or apprehended through the mind or words. You can just know that he is blissful, but it's very tough to apprehend that particular state, his nature or the goal where he is. But then how do you know whether a person is realized or what will happen when he gets realized? In brief, it means sadhana nirmuktah. There will be no need of sadhana because his life itself will be based on Brahman. So the sadhana that we do in order to contemplate on Brahman. So sadhana is something which is effortful. You put effort in order to remember Brahman. The moment you realize, the thought of Brahman becomes natural. It becomes sahajam. When it is sahaja samadhi, samadhi is a sadhana that you practice. You remove all thoughts, remember Brahman. When it becomes natural, it's called sahajam. That is the state of Jivan Mukti. And that samadhi, which is sahajam, which is natural, is what is being accepted or what has to be aspired for by a sadhaka or a seeker. And at that time, sadhana nirmuktah, he becomes liberated from sadhana. That means he doesn't need any effort, he doesn't have any effort. And not only that, he becomes a siddha. Siddha is a person who is perfect, complete in all aspects. You don't need anything, will not need anything, will not want anything. He'll be always complete. And yogirat, he'll be a person who is in yoga, who is ever blissful. He's not siddhi asiddhyoho samo bhutva siddhi asiddhihi. Siddhi means good things, asiddhi means bad things. Both in good and bad things, such a person will be ever blissful. He will be the same. He will maintain equanimity. So that's what Krishna also says as in the sixth chapter, or which is called the chapter of yoga. As sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani cha atmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshinah. So samadarshanam or seeing oneness everywhere will be followed by such a jivan mukta. So after speaking about samadhi and that tavat sadhu sam abhyaset, a person has to always do it, and the state which you achieve by doing it, next comes like, okay, that is fine, but when do you have any obstacle that a person might face in the path? So that is what Shankara speaks about in the next two shlokas. So even like any other path, you have obstacles to this samadhi or practicing samadhi as well. And so what is the purpose of knowing those obstacles? Can we just, or can't we just say that, okay, you have to do it always, that isn't that enough? It might be enough for some, but if we know what are the problems, then we'll know that, okay, if I do this, then it is a problem, it's an obstacle. I might think, okay, if I do this, if I watch TV, I might think that, okay, it doesn't affect, because after that I'll think about Brahman. While watching TV also I'll think about Brahman, but while watching TV and remembering Brahman, there might be an obstacle. It might also be an obstacle in reality. So how do we know that? We can know that if they are enumerated. So in Mandukya Karika, Gaudapada Acharya speaks about four obstacles, which also Shankara quotes here, and other than that, few others as well he quotes. So he gives eight, if I am right. He gives eight obstacles. So it can be many. So for example, Yoga Darshana. In the Yoga Sutra, Patanjali speaks about 9 or 11 obstacles. He speaks about it there. So here Shankara speaks about eight. They can be extended, like anything that obstructs your remembering Brahman or removing all thoughts. Nirvikaratayavrittya. Anything that obstructs your doing this, that is an obstacle. But let's see what Shankara says here so that we know that we don't enter into any of those. So in the 127th and 128th shloka, he is enumerating those which we can see in brief or a little bit detailed today. Samadau kriyamane tu vignanyayanti vai balad anusandhana rahityam alasyam bhogalalasam. So samadau kriyamane tu, the next word is split as vignani ayanti. So vignani means, it is bahuvachanam. So vignani means vignas or many vignas. Vignam means obstacle. We know Vigneshwara is common for Vigneshwara, or Ganeshwara is known as Vigna Ishwara, the god of removing all obstacles. So vignani means it is bahuvachanam. That means like vignas. Ayanti means attains, or he gets, attains is the right way, and that's what is the splitting of the word vignanyayanti, 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 or when it becomes together vignanyayanti. So samadhu, okay, sorry, layastamascha vikshepo rasa swadascha shunyata evam yad vigna bahulyam tyajyam brahma vidashanai. So both these shlokas are together. So brahma vidha means by knowers of Brahman. So knowers of Brahman are people who seek Brahman. So if we consider the word brahma vidha as knowers of Brahman, then if we consider it that way, then we have to interpret it as paroksha jnanam, a person who has paroksha jnanam and seeking a paroksha jnanam. Or the word like the site gives, we can say it as brahma vidha, means a person who wants to know about Brahman, who wants to become a brahmavid or Brahman itself. So we need to understand that brahmavid brahmaiva bhavati. So Mundaka Upanishad says a person who knows Brahman becomes Brahman. So there, a knower of Brahman, it is not paroksha jnanam that is being spoken about there, but it is aparoksha jnanam, because paroksha jnanam, we all have paroksha jnanam. Kamala Hassan speaks on stage about tattvamasi. Acharyas or maharshis say that the truth is tattvamasi, but how much he is implementing it, we all know. We all know that he is an atheist. Many of us know that he is an atheist. He doesn't believe in that, and like going after sensual pleasure. So that itself explains it. So many of us might know, all of us know that Brahmajnanam, we have Brahmajnanam, but Brahmavid, their Brahmavid, or the Jnanam that is spoken about there, is not Paroksha Jnanam, it is Aparoksha Jnanam. We have to interpret it that way. So that is the reason why we need to know how to interpret scriptures. We need to know that's where the scriptures speak about two. If you go through our blogs, you will be able to find details on this. Like just go through the Mahavakyas, analysis of Mahavakyas blog. There you will find analysis of this in depth. But in short, any word, any scriptural word or any word in general can have two meanings. So one is called Vachyartham, One is called Lakshyartham. So Vachyartham, Vachya Artham. That means the Artham of the word in itself. That means direct meaning. And Lakshyartham means Lakshyam. It is denoting something else. So implied meaning is what is the what the Lakshyartham determines. So there are many like examples given. The red ran. So there is a, if you have a just a sentence, the red ran, or like whatever is the word used for red and Davati. So I don't remember, I am not good at Sanskrit, but the red ran, if you have a statement red ran, we cannot take the direct meaning of red. Then what do we need to take there? We need to take an indirect meaning there, which means Ashvaha. So that means that we have to add that part. So in many cases that becomes Tat, Tvam, Asi. So Tat and Tvam, that you are. So you, Tvam means you. What is you? You is generally like the ego or the jiva who is associated with various things. Aham, Mama is there. But that is not what is meant by Tvam there. So the direct meaning or Vachyartham of Tvam is that, but the what is intended in the particular shloka or in the particular vakya is I devoid of all limitations, I devoid of adjuncts. That means pure I, kutastha sakshi atman is what is being meant there. So that is Lakshyartham, Vachyartham, Lakshyartham. So Brahmavid, when it says, it may seem like knower of Brahman, that means you just know, but the know there is not normal knowledge, but it is implied knowledge, which means it is aparoksha anubhavam or aparoksha jnanam. So Brahmavidha, for people who are designing to know Brahman, who want to know Brahman, who want to become Brahman. Why do you want to become Brahman? Sadhana nirmuktaha siddhaha yogirat. So there are three words that is given, or remove all those and put it one into one as anandam. It is that anandam is what we all seek, irrespective of whether we are learned or not, irrespective of all distinctions, we all seek anandam. If we need that anandam, then we need to realize Brahman. How can you realize Brahman? You can realize Brahman when you know that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So you negate the world by saying it is Mithya, and then concentrate on Brahman. That is what Vritti Vismaranam. Vritti Vismaranam. Forgetting all Vritti is Jagan Mithyatvam, and then Brahma Akarataya Punaha is Brahma Satyam. And it's not just Brahma Satyam, but that Brahman, I am Jivo Brahma Ivanapara. So that is how we will know Brahman or gain Aparukshanabhavam. But for a person who wants to achieve that state, who has got Paroksha Jnanam, who is practicing Samadhi, he may fall down. It's not exactly fall down, but he may encounter obstacles. So what are those obstacles? So here it says samadho kriyamane tu. So when a Brahmavidha, person who is seeking Brahman and who is doing aparoksha anubhavam, who is striving for aparoksha anubhavam, doing the sadhana for that, sadhana for nididhyasanam, such a person samadho kriyamane tu, even though samadho kriyamane. So even though a person does action or goes towards samadhi, practices samadhi or tries to practice samadhi too, but still what would happen? But vignani ayanti encounters what? Vignani, he encounters vignam. Why? Balat means he may encounter the various obstacles. Balat direct means that very strong, that means which he cannot avoid. So the site gives us unavoidable. So balat there means that which is strong obstacles, that means which is very tough to get rid of. But if we know that, we can get rid of. So that's the reason why majority, like most of the trouble or like mental problems, we can get rid by knowing what the problem is. So it's like telling, okay, fear. If you have to get rid of fear, then you need to face it. That's one of the common statements that worldly people or like psychiatrists may make, or they make that, okay, if you have to overcome fear, you have to face it. So So that means when you know the problem, 50% of the problem is gone because you are aware of it. So that's why Amma says you always should be aware. We should be like a bird sitting on the on a branch of the tree. So the bird, there is a small bird as well along with it, its child. So what this bird does, it may sit on the branch and sleep, but still it is aware. One small wind, it will open its eyes immediately. Being so, it is all, though it is sleeping, though it may do other activities, yet it is aware that this branch cannot protect me. So it is always aware of that, okay, there may be problems, so it is ready to face problem anytime it happens. So when we know that this problem might come, it'll be ready for it. It's like telling when you are driving out, you don't expect any problems, but if you, okay, you know that, okay, if the tire like goes flat, you know what to do. So if you don't know, then you may panic and you'll have to find out, okay, what to do now and all. But if you know that, then even though the tire may go flat, you know clearly, so you don't panic. 50% of the trouble is gone. So vignani ayanti vai balat, balam or like balat, strongly you may encounter vignam. And he, Shankara enumerates some vignam which we will see. And evam yad vigna bahulyam, evam, in this way, or in all, in this way, like many of the vignams will come, but those vignams, yad vigna bahulyam, so bahulyam means great vignam, very great vignam, yad great vignam, that great vignas which a person might encounter, tyajim, renounce, who has to renounce? Brahma vidha, a person who wants a paroksha anubhavam should renounce all these strong, unavoidable vignas, obstacles. Oh, strong, unavoidable obstacles, how can I completely renounce in a minute? Addiction. So these obstacles are similar to addiction, because in short we can say these obstacles will be very simple. What? Brahma satyam jagan mithya. It obstructs both. So it doesn't let you do, or something that doesn't let you contemplate on Brahma Satyam with Jagan Mithya, that is an obstacle. So the more and more whatever concentrates on Jagat and Jagat being real, or takes you away from Brahman, takes you away from remembering Brahman and getting deluded into the world, that are obstacles. So in short, that which veils the Satyam aspect of Brahman and veils the Mithya aspect of Jagat. So it means that which interchanges it, that means that which makes you concentrate more on Brahma Mithya and Jagat Satyam. That means you, Brahma Mithya means you forget Brahman, you forget Brahman and Jagat Satyam, you think the Jagat is real. That is the greatest obstacle or biggest obstacle. So if we are able to always remember Brahma Satyam and Jagat Mithya, that there itself the problem is solved, there will be no obstacle at all. But if there is an obstacle, like various addictions, we are more and more towards the world. So 20 years or 30 years we are in this birth, and many many other births we have been concentrating on Jagat Satyam and Brahma Mithya. We don't even know about Brahman, we haven't heard about Brahman until this birth, and we were always concentrating on Jagat Satyam. So it's an addiction. It's like any addiction, you cannot remove it completely. If you remove it, it also may explode. So that's the reason why it is said that, okay, you shouldn't do too much pranayama in a day. Suddenly kundalini will arise. So it's like kundalini going up immediately. So it's like telling the temperature going up very, very soon. What will happen? If the temperature goes up very soon, the next step is it will explode. It will go down drastically. So kundalini shakti will arise immediately, and then it will fall down the very next day. So that will lead to more trouble. It will be taken in the opposite direction. So addictions are very tough to remove in a single day, in a single step. So shanaihi, slowly. That means shanaihi means in due course or gradually, slowly. So that means when you encounter any obstacle, you shouldn't remove it immediately. If possible, it's well and good. But if you are not able to, then you should encounter it with love. You should encounter with a positive attitude. You can never try to control your mind by using negative, what to say, negative way or negative impact. It's like telling, okay, somebody comes to you and they argue with you. So you try to do reasoning with them. But instead of reasoning, if you start shouting at them, you'll never be able to convince them. But if you want to convince them, then talk at a reasonable way. Talk in a reasonable way. Talk with a positive attitude. So even with the mind is more tough than, if convincing an external, a third person is very tough, so convincing our own mind is very tough. So we have to deal it in the right way. So we have to again go back. If we encounter any obstacle, go back. Okay, Shankara has said this, let me analyze. Oh mind, analyze it now. Manasa sancharare, brahmani, manasa sancharare. So that's a very beautiful song which says that, okay, oh mind, brahmani, manasa sancharare, brahmani sancharare, manasa. Oh mind, go tread the path of Brahman, be in Brahman. So that means it's like you have to tell it, okay, oh mind, this is what Shankara says, analyze it. Okay, you can analyze. You have intellect, you have good capability, so try to analyze. So the mind, when it analyzes, it goes from a doubting state, from a confused state, from a deluded state into the state of intellect. When intellect is used, you can rest assured that if the intellect is used in the right way without kutarkas, then it will convince the mind. And when the mind or the antakarana becomes convinced, that means you again go to Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So using logic, using whatever has been learned, you have to do that. So shanaihi, slowly, in a good way. So just because I did something, okay, I didn't do meditation yesterday, so what will I do? Okay, so tomorrow no food, I'll only meditate. If you try to do that, not only that you'll not be able to do meditation, but you will not be able to do meditation for one entire week. So that's not how it has to be dealt. You have to deal it with shanaihi, slowly, in the right attitude. So what are the vignas that Shankara speaks about? So for, in general, vignas have to do with forgetting Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So the first vigna he says is anusandhana rahityam. Anusandhana rahityam. Rahityam means devoid of or lack of anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means like contemplation. So in the site, the meaning is given as inquiry or enquiry, but you can consider inquiry, but anusandhana rahityam means not able to do contemplation. So that the first obstacle is what? You have to do anusandhanam. You have to do anusandhanam for samadhi. Samadhi means you are trying to do anusandhanam. That means anusandhanam. So if you are not able to do anusandhanam, you are not doing anusandhanam, you are not doing Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that is the first obstacle. That means it's like telling, okay, you have to do meditation in order to do this, but you don't do meditation. You have to cook to eat food, you don't cook. So that the first obstacle is not cooking. The first obstacle is anusandhana rahityam. We should always try to do anusandhanam. So though if we are not doing samadhi, but any other sadhana, yet we should ensure that we are doing anusandhanam. And the second one is alasyam. So alasyam means alasata. We know that alasyam means like being idle or not doing any activity. So that is one of the very big obstacle, because if you don't want to do anything, that means you want to go into the state of tamas. So if you are not doing anything, that means you cannot even do the Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That means you are getting away from Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So alasyam, that's one of the way you can find a Jivan Mukta or a real sadhaka, a sadhaka who wants to realize, he will never have alasata. So if you want to do this, I am ready now, this moment I am ready. Okay, if you want to, okay, there is Amma is coming to this place, I have to drive for 4 hours, but it doesn't matter, I am doing it now. That means there is no alasata. But you can say, okay, oh, I have to go there. Do I have to go there? What will I really benefit out of it? Oh, that is fine, I will see Amma in internet, I'll sleep at home. That is alasata. You don't have strength or vigor or rajasic quality for spirituality. So for spirituality also you need to have rajasic quality. The mind should be mind should have the vigor to do, okay, I will do this, that particular thing. If it is lacking, it is alasyam. And bogal alasyam is the third one. So one is like anusandhana rahityam, forgetting or not doing anusandhanam, or being like not having the vigor to do things. And bogal alasyam, so not having the vigor is different from doing the opposite thing. So you don't, you have the strength to do things, but instead of concentrating on Brahman, you concentrate on the world. That is bhoga lalasam. That means lalasam, you seek bhogam, you want bhogam. Oh, Vedanta says that, okay, I need to learn, I need to read the scriptures, but I want to watch TV. Why? It gives me some pleasure, so I want bhogam, therefore I will watch TV. That is, the moment you get into bhogam, whether it is, whether it be that, okay, I'll do bhogam along with remembrance of Brahman, that is impossible. So, then how can you differentiate between the two? The only thing is, here you want bhogam. So, anytime you stop the bhogam, if you are getting affected, that you watch TV, a beautiful show is going on. In between, the current goes, oh God. If there is any cry, that okay, that means you are getting affected. And when you are getting affected, that means there is bhoga lalasam. I want meet amma. Why? Because I don't have company. Because my roommate doesn't want to go. That is in a way bhoga lalasam, because as well as alasyam, both are there. Like alasada is there because of my roommate, and bhoga lalasam is also there because I don't have the strong desire for that. If I don't have the strong desire for spirituality, that means I have some desire for bhoga. So if I don't join Chinmaya mission, if I don't take sannyasam, that means I have some desire for bhoga. There's no escape. Like you can also say, okay, Hariram is not, he hasn't taken sannyasam, he hasn't taken the Chinmaya course with his sister, therefore he has bhogam. I completely agree with it. I have bhogam. If I didn't have bhogam, I wouldn't be here. If I am in the world, that means I have bhogam. There is no escape from it. There is no escape in saying, okay, I didn't join Chinmaya mission because I can live. I know Chitsuki, I have learned Brahma Sutra Bhashya, I have learned many other advanced works, Ishta Siddhi, this, that and all. Therefore, I don't need to join Chinmaya mission. That is escapism. If you don't do that, that means there is some bhogalalasam. Some bhogalalasam. It may be very minor or not, but it is an obstacle, because bhogalalasam means you are going after bhogam. If you are going after bhogam, that means you consider bhogam as real. If you consider bhogam as real, that means you are considering jagat as satyam, which means you are forgetting jagan mithya and brahma satyam. So that is an obstacle, because anything that takes you away from brahma satyam jagan mithya is an obstacle. So bhogalalasam is a very big trouble. So any moment a person says, okay, I want to do this, or I'll do this along with spirituality, there itself you can know that there is some bhogam. In some corner of the mind, there is bhogam. If there was no bhogam, then the person would say, I don't want TV. I don't want to watch TV. Why? Because I don't need to get anything out of it. So I don't want anything with it, therefore I'll do spirituality. Okay, I'll read Amma's book. I'll read Amma's book. I want to finish it today itself. Therefore, I will not watch TV. That means there is no bhogalalasam. But if somebody says, okay, I need to cook, I'll cook, I'll stay with my roommate, I'll do this, I'll do that, then that means in some corner of the mind there is small bhogam. Even if it is small or big, it doesn't matter. If bhogam is there, that means you are in jagat satyam. If you are in jagat satyam, you are gone. You are falling down. It's an obstacle. So you won't be able to do samadhi. So if a person says, okay, I am watching TV and I am still remembering Brahman, I am realized therefore, then you can know that the person is making a, is saying, is giving a big, he's a big liar, you can say. Because it's impossible. The moment you are in bhogam, the moment you mix bhogam with spirituality, that means you want bhogam and you are using spirituality as a escapism. or a way to justify your bogam. And that's even more dangerous than bogal alasam, than accepting that I have bogam. When you try to justify it with spirituality, that means it is more dangerous because you will never be able to get out of it. The bogal alasam is the third one. And then the next five, out of the next five, four is what like Gaudapada says. So Gaudapada speaks about layam, vikshepam, rasaswadam, and then he speaks about kashayam. So kashayam, or going behind sense pleasure, that is bhogalalasam. So layam, vikshepam, kashayam, and rasaswadam is what Gaudapada says, and kashayam can be said to be bhogalalasam. And layam, layam means you tend to sleep, you tend to get into sleep. So sleep denotes a state of tamas, a state of utter ignorance. So that means in a way, like you can say, when you do samadhi or meditation in yoga shastram, you will get layam. So when you are trying to go into Brahman, you fall asleep. So while doing meditation, if you sleep, that is telling that you have layam. And Gaudapada says, if you have layam, then you need to bring back the mind, make the mind more vigorous, or like waken the mind. But here then, in Vedanta or whatever we are speaking about, are not practices which you completely do it. You can do it while in the world itself. So that means it's just mental sadhanas. So in mental sadhana, what can be layam? So layam also can be said to be going into a state of ignorance. That means, again, veiling Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So when you go into sleep, you forget everything, including good and bad, including spiritual and worldly. So layam means any time when you forget Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that is layam. So the mind should always be active. So this is another way of telling that in sleep also you should remember Brahman. How can you remember Brahman in sleep? So there is a huge or like Vedanta speaks about something very interesting here. So when you go to sleep, the moment or the time or the, it's like one birth to next birth. So like from one birth to next birth, your next birth is determined by the last moment of this birth, whatever you think. Similarly, sleep, the moment you sleep, just before that, what you think, you'll be concentrating on that while sleeping. Of course, in Sushupti Avastha, in deep sleep, you cannot think anything, you'll not be thinking anything. But in dream, you can know. So if I get some bad dreams, that means just before sleeping, I was thinking something bad. So just before sleeping, that's why Amma says that before sleeping, we need to do dhyanam for 5 or 10 minutes. We can repeat shloka. So it has happened with me, my sister as well. Like sometimes she says, okay, when I sleep, I get dreams as if I am teaching somebody. I am reciting scriptural text and explaining some concepts. So that's something very beautiful, because just before sleeping, you are recollecting scriptures, you are doing spiritual activities. So when you go into sleep, you'll say, so that's why people say, I dreamt about Amma. How is that possible? Just before sleep, you are thinking about Amma. So in layam, while sleeping also, if you need to think about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya just before sleep, repeat it hundreds of times until you get sleep. That means you overcome it. So that's different ways of telling. But in crisp, like when the mind becomes sleepy, so when you want to do sadhana, the mind becomes sleepy, mind ignores it, mind gets into a state of ignorance or completely forgetting, that is layam. And the next is tamah. So tamascha, tamah. So tamas means like a state of being very dull. So it's a state, like alasyam is a state where you don't do anything. So you don't feel like you don't do anything, or a state without, like, where you don't have the vigor to do karma. Tamas is a state when you are very dull, so dull. So one is alasyam is when you are not doing karma, and tamas is a state when you cannot do karma. So that's how we can say. So one is being idle. So In alasyata as well, you don't have the vigor. That means you don't have the vigor for something. So you have the strength. You don't want to do. That is alasyam. And you cannot do. That means tamas. So the more a person, it's like if you eat a lot, you don't go into alasyam, you go into tamas. So I'll not drive to see Amma. I'll not go to see Amma because I am not that interested in it. That is alasyam. And I cannot go to see Amma. Why? Because I am so tired. I like went to a friend's place. I drove to Boston yesterday. So yesterday morning I went to Boston and came back. So I have driven 10 hours. So I am so tired. And there also we had a boost party. So I am very tired. Therefore I cannot go. That is tamaha. So a person should ensure that he doesn't go into tamas or alasyam. So knowingly ignoring samadhi or not being able to do samadhi. That's the reason why Krishna says in the 6th chapter that a person should eat the bare minimum and sleep the bare minimum required. So we shouldn't ignore both. We shouldn't. So he says in the 6th chapter, he says that na atyashnatastu yogo asti na chekantam anashnatah. So he speaks in the next shloka, yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapna avabhodasya yogo bhavati dukkah. Yogam, or these spiritual practices or equanimity of the mind, will dukkaha, will remove dukkam. If yukta ahara viharasya, we should eat whatever is bare minimum, whatever is needed. We shouldn't ignore the body. Give the body the bare food that it needs. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. You should also like put your intellect into what basic karmas that you need to do. So whatever, we cannot survive in the world without karma. So we need to do some bare karmas that are required. So I have to work for 8 hours. I need to get money. So I need to do the karma. Even in Shinmya mission, you need to do karma. What? You need to do daily seva. Okay, you need to eat. What do you need to do? You need to walk from your room to the canteen. That is a karma. If I say, okay, I won't do that, then you are getting rid of both basic karma as well as aharam as well. So the basic karma of brushing your teeth, I'll say, I won't brush my teeth. I won't have bath. That means you'll feel more and more tamas. So you need to do basic things. So yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Bare minimum food needs and bare like karma as well as yukta swapna avabhodasya. You need to sleep minimum. So it's not like, okay, I'll sleep for 2 hours. I want to do spiritual practice. I'll do 22 hours. I'll sleep for 2 hours. Then what will happen? The next day, 24 hours, you'll be sleeping. You'll be as if sleeping. You'll not sleep. You'll not go into complete sleep, but you'll not be able to do sadhana. So that's the reason why in the just previous shloka to this shloka in Gita, Krishna says, na atyashnatastu yogo asti. For a person who doesn't eat much, well, cannot be yogam, and na cha ekantam anashnatah. So a person who eats more, he won't be able to do yoga. And a person who doesn't eat much, he also will not get ekantam. He won't be able to put his mind. And na cha ati swapna shilasya jagrato vai cha arjuna. So there is a trade-off. Like you need to have bare minimum food, bare karmas, and bare sleep, whatever is minimum needed. So this is well before which in the 17th chapter or 16th chapter, where he speaks about what is good karma, what is bad, no, what is good food, tamasic food, rajasic food, sattvic food. You don't need to exactly go into that. If you can follow it, well and good. But it doesn't mean, okay, they say that onions are not to be used. But in Amma's ashram, they put onion. What is this? She cannot judge. There are a lot of things which is beyond our control. It's something like, there is a basic rule, that's it. You may be able to twist that rule. It may be that you don't need to follow that rule. Okay, you sleep for 10 hours. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you are with Amma for 2 hours. Being with Amma for 2 hours is like being with doing sadhanas for an entire month. That means it's okay if you sleep 10 hours. So there are restrictions. It only matters whether you are able to do Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. If you cook food once a week and you are able to do Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, well and good, it's fine. And if you cannot do it daily, it's also fine. If you can, well and good. So if you can do or cook sattvic food, it's fine. But emphasis is not on sattvic food. Emphasis is on sadhana. The moment you focus on sattvic food, you focus on sleep, you focus on karma, you will be deluded because you are concentrating on things which are part of jagat mithya. Mithya jagat, you any time you concentrate, you'll forget Brahma Satyam. So that means concentrating on dhyanam, concentrating on samadhi, concentrating on bhajan, forgetting Brahman, that's more dangerous. More dangerous than not doing sadhana. Because you are doing sadhana which will only take you down and down because you are not focusing on Brahman. So that's the reason why Krishna says, yukta ahara viharasya. It's like whatever is needed, you need to do, that's it. Basic things in the world you need to do, that's it. So that's where you need to remember that. Why do you need to cook daily? Why do you need to cook daily? Just because you need food, that's it. It doesn't matter whether you cook food once a week or not, or daily. You need some food, and if you are able to do samadhi, if you are able to do sadhana with that, well and good. So emphasis is not on cooking. Just that you can say, okay, you can cook and remember Brahman. You should do cooking daily. What is this? You don't cook daily. You don't chant Lalasanama daily. You are not realized. You cannot even be called as sadhaka. That is like forgetting Brahman. So forget Brahman and emphasize on anything that will lead you nowhere. So emphasis is not on doing things, on karma, on jagat itself, but emphasis is on Brahma Satyam. And Brahma Satyam in itself means you have to do Jagat Mithya. So the moment you do Jagat Mithya, you won't be over emphasizing on food. You won't be saying, you need to cook food daily. Oh, why can't you cook food daily? You should do. And all those things are when you emphasize on the wrong aspect. So it's a very subtle difference that tamas is when you don't give the bare necessity. So for giving bare necessities, whatever it is, whatever you need, do it. Even if it means, okay, I cannot do it, cook daily. I'm so busy, so I have to do sadhana. I am in the world, I have to go to work, I have to do many other things. Therefore, I cannot do sadhana if I cook daily. Therefore, I'll cook once in 2 days. That's more than enough. That is well and good for the sadhaka. So the focus is not on doing certain things, but it's on Brahman and ensuring that your body and mind is capable of doing that samadhi. So tamaha, if a person feels after cooking twice, once in 2 days and eating that food, okay, the first day it is fine, the second day I'm feeling that I cannot do sadhana for 8 hours, I'm able to do sadhana only for 7 hours, then surely you have to cook daily, because else you'll not be able to do sadhana. So if samadhi is getting, it's posing an obstacle to samadhi and taking it to a state of tamas, dullness, where you cannot do samadhi, you cannot practice samadhi, then you need to compulsorily do it. But if it is not, then you don't need to worry about it. So it is well and good to cook daily. It's well and good to sleep for less and less time, like 4 hours or 3 hours daily. But if you cannot do that, then it's fine to sleep 5 or 6 hours or cook daily, whatever, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't lead to tamas is what is important. The more and more you go into tamas, it will pose an obstacle to samadhi. And it's in order to do samadhi at all times that we have all these limitations. So as per Krishna, though in the chapter about speaking about Gunatraya Vibhagam, about the three gunas, he speaks about many things like sleeping or activities, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. The Atman is, or Brahman is beyond these three gunas. So in many other places Krishna says about the Atman as being above gunas. It is guna, like gunatitah, gunatita yogam. There is a chapter itself, not in the chapter, in the 14th chapter, Krishna speaks about guna atitah. The Atman is beyond all gunas. So that means what you need to is go beyond. It's not sattvic. Okay, a person might be very sattvic. What? He eats food, he cooks food daily, he eats only sattvic food. The best examples are Jains who eat only sattvic food. Just because they eat sattvic food doesn't mean that they are realized or they know Brahman more than us. They are far away from the truth. By the way itself you can know, because there is emphasis on food. Sattvic food is good, but if you emphasize on sattvic food, okay, you go to a place where you cannot get sattvic food. Okay, you go to another, you go to Amma's ashram and they serve you idli, which is like very cold, and you know that, or it has been heated, so reheated, but you know that it is something like at night when you eat, it's from the morning, so it's not that good. But still, you have to adjust. You cannot say, oh, this is rajasic food, this is tamasic food, I'll not eat this. So all those things like you shouldn't do. So it's just that tamaha means anything that like takes you away from samadhi, you have to work towards it, else it is fine. So the next one is vikshepam. So vikshepam is getting distracted. So bhogalalasam is when you knowingly desire bhogam, therefore you get distracted. Here you get distracted. So you want to meditate. So you get into meditation. After 2 minutes, you hear some loud music, some jazz or pop music you hear. Your brother listens to all those music and he is putting it at very loud voice, loud sound. So there, you don't want to enjoy the music. You don't have the desire for enjoying the music, but you are distracted. So it's like even like alasyam or alasata is when you don't want to do, and tamas is when you cannot do. Bhogalalasam is when you want pleasure, want sensual pleasure, and vikshepam is when you get distracted. So your mind gets distracted because of like being in the world for 8 hours, for 10 hours, working during the day. At night when you try to do samadhi, when you get away from world and try to go into Brahman, the mind gets distracted into worldly objects. So distraction is nothing but taking your mind off Brahman. So the moment it takes your mind away from Brahman, at times you may not know. So you'll speak about realization, you'll speak about remembering Brahman while doing actions, and then suddenly for 15-20 minutes you'll speak about good food, good places, this you should do, this movie star, that and all. And after 20 minutes you'll realize, oh, I was speaking about remembering Brahman and I forgot Brahman for 20 minutes. So that is distraction. But you don't need to worry about distraction. You don't need to worry, oh, 20 minutes I forgot. But when you know, that's how Gaudapada says, like when you know that vikshepam has happened, that you have got distracted, or when you are aware of this distraction, that moment again bring the mind back to Brahman. So this is the same thing that Krishna says. Krishna says in the sixth chapter that when the mind, like when Arjuna says that, oh Krishna, you say controlling the mind, but I am not able to do it. So how can I bring it back? So Krishna says, yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam astiram. So whenever the mind goes away from Brahman, tatastato niyamyetat atmanyeva vasham nayet, control it, bring it back to Brahman, bring it back to the Atman. So when vikshepam happens, when you know that vikshepam has happened, don't worry about it, but bring it back to Brahman. So not just bring it back to Brahman, but ensure that, okay, learn from your mistakes, don't brood over your mistakes, just learn from your mistakes. That's what is required. So I know my mind got distracted because of the music that was going on. So the next time I won't get distracted. Or let's say you are meditating and you hear a beautiful song, your most favorite song, and you get distracted. So the next time, what will you do? You'll say that, okay, that song is as illusion. Why am I getting so attached to that song? Listening to the song will only give me bliss for 5 minutes. But if I do samadhi, I'll get eternal bliss. So the next time you hear the song, you know, I shouldn't get distracted. That is also an illusion. So you bring it back. So bhogalalasam is when you knowingly, you want bhogam, and vikshepam is when you somehow get distracted from Brahma Satyam into Jagat Satyam. The next one is rasa aswadam. Rasa aswadascha shunyata. Rasa aswadam is the next, and shunyata is the very next. So these are, you can say, stages. Like, what will happen first? So we'll complete this. Rasa aswadam, we have already spoken about in other places or other topics. So rasa aswadam is rasa aswadam. You enjoy something. So when you are more and more doing sadhana, you'll get a happiness. You'll get happiness from the sadhana, which Vidyaranya terms it as like a quality of the mind. So it is a reflection of the bliss of the Atman. The more and more you go towards the Atman, you will get some bliss, which is a reflection or limitation of the bliss of the Atman. It's like telling, the more and more near you go to the sun, when we are here far from the sun, so we can feel the heat of the sun. The more and more near you go to the sun, you'll feel more and more heat of sun. But that's not the real heat of the sun. The real heat of the sun is unimaginable. We know that, like, it's at so much like high temperature. But we don't feel that much temperature here because we are far. So the more and more we go near, the limitation will get like reduced. But still, it is a limitation. So it's not the real one. So the more you go towards the Atman, you'll feel the bliss of the Atman, even like the heat of the sun. But it's not real. But it may happen that while you're in the path, you get a better happiness than the happiness you get from sense objects. So it is said in the scriptures that even since the happiness that you gain out of sense objects is because of the Atman. So all happiness are from the Atman, but they get limited by the object. So the more and more you spiritual sadhana you do, the more intense sadhana you do, you'll feel more and more happiness. So when you do samadhi, you will go into a state, okay, you feel a bliss. You know that it's not perfect. How do you know that it's not perfect? Because if it is perfect, then sadhana will fall off and it will become natural. But you still feel bliss and you think that it is Atman, you get deluded into the bliss. So aswadam, you enjoy the bliss and get deluded into the bliss. That is rasa aswadam. And how can you come out of it? You can come out of it by telling that, okay, this is also temporary, I know. Why? Because I am still doing sadhana. I am not able to be in Brahman naturally. Okay, one day I don't do any sadhana. I don't read any scriptures. I don't talk with my guru. I don't have any speech about Vedanta. Still I am blissful. That state I haven't achieved. That means it is not natural. So that means this is only rasaswadam. And what is the next stage? Shunyata. So rasaswadam is a state when you get temporary bliss, but the final state before Brahman or before being Brahman or merging with Brahman is a state of blank. So you go into a state where you don't really enjoy anything. So there is no experience at all. So it's like telling, I hear a beautiful music, I merge into the music, 1 second I forget everything. So it is a state of blankness. So it is not complete merging. So you are doing sadhana. So at times, like, what will happen is, it's like telling you go more and more near to the sun. At times you will feel the heat of the sun. At times what will happen? The proximity is so close that you merge into the sun. That means your heat is almost as good as the sun. So you explode or you get like burnt off. That may be the feeling. But it is temporary because you'll come back. So you temporarily merge into Brahman, thereby like you get into a state of blankness, and that is not real as well. Why is it real? Because any state which you cannot be aware of or awaringly go, that is not realization. Realization or the state of Brahman is when you are completely aware. You are fully aware of your state. You are fully aware of the bliss emanating from the Atman. you are fully aware of whatever is happening around you. That is the state. So that's the reason why Amma says that while we are in the waking state, we have consciousness. We have consciousness, but we don't have awareness. In sleep, we don't have awareness, we have consciousness. We have pure consciousness there. So, or like we can call it as kind of, you have awareness, but you don't have knowledge there. But here, like we have awareness, but we don't have knowledge. That means like we have awareness of things around us, but we don't have knowledge. Therefore, we are not aware of the knowledge. In sleep, we have knowledge, but we are not aware of the knowledge or consciousness. So both should go hand in hand. You should be aware. So Amma terms like Arivu and Bodham. So Arivu means knowledge, Bodham means being conscious or aware of. So here like we are aware of certain things, but we don't have knowledge. In sleep, it's just the opposite. You are not aware of, but you have knowledge. Therefore, you feel bliss. You feel happiness after you come out of it, but you are not aware of it. So there is a complete full, when awareness and knowledge go hand in hand, that means you are fully aware of bliss. So it's not a state of shunyam. Shunyam is when you temporarily merge. So either it will be a state of shunyam when you temporarily merge, or rasasvadam. So these are the obstacles. So how can you come out of the blank state? When you feel that you are temporarily merging, or you don't feel anything at all, you feel blank, make yourself aware. Awaken the mind and make it aware that I am there. I am there. I alone am there. Bring that I into it and it becomes realization. So these are the eight obstacles, we can say. Whatever Shankara says is progressive, we can say. So when you are doing samadhi, what will be the first thing? You don't want to do samadhi. So that is anusandhana rahityam. So you are not doing it is the first step. Sorry, you are not doing it is the first step. And alasyam, you don't want to do it. That is the second step. And then third, what would happen? Because you are not doing it and you don't want to do it, you get distracted into the world. You get desire for bhogam. And you come out of that as well, then what will happen? Layam. You get temporarily, like somehow you get ignorance about Brahma Satyam, about Samadhi. And even when you overcome Layam, you are aware, you are always awake about Brahma Satyam. There can be temporary like fall down, which is tamas, or unknowingly falling off. So after Bhogalalasam, when you overcome Bhogalalasam, that means like anusandhana rahityam and alasyam are subsets of bhogalalasam. So when you overcome bhogalalasam completely, you don't have any bhogam, then you want Brahman, but somehow you may fall down like unknowingly. So that's what layam tamaha. And after tamas, you're not able to do it. You become kind of very dull state, and then vikshepam, you get distracted, and then you get deluded into bliss. And even after you overcome that deluded state, the final thing is when you merge, and the moment you merge, you go into a state of blankness. That also you should overcome by awakening or being aware. So a person who has done dhyana, intense dhyana, would understand the last two or three. Like layam, entire thing starting from layam is very easy to understand. So layam, when you do meditation, you will fall asleep. That is layam. And tamaha, what is tamas? Like you feel that you want to do it, but you don't have the strength. You somehow feel the mind is not vigorous. And even when the mind is vigorous, it gets distracted, other thoughts come in. And rasasvadam, what happens? You get some bliss and you feel that is anandam, you stay there. And then what happens? You do your meditation, dhyanam for a quite long period, then everything vanishes. You go into a state of blankness. You don't know anything. It's as if you don't know anything. You are there, but you don't know anything. It's a state of kind of sleep state, deep sleep state, whether you are aware, you are not aware of anything. That is not also real because Brahman has awareness. So this is with respect to dhyanam, which you do, yogic dhyanam, which with respect to Vedanta we have already discussed. Layam means you get away from Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, somehow it becomes veiled. And Tamaha is when you really want to, you really want to follow Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, but somehow situations, you don't do proper sadhana, you don't have proper food, you don't have proper sleep or things like that, that doesn't give you real strength. And Vikshepam is when Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, you are remembering, but somehow things are distracting you. For example, okay, my parents are looking for married. So I know Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, but this problem seems to be more intense than remembering Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya. Because of this intense problem, which changes my entire life, my entire future, my entire spiritual career, I forget Jagan, Mithya. I consider this marriage, this parents as real. So if you have to overcome it, what do you have to do? Again, focus on Jagan, Mithya. The moment you focus on Jagan, Mithya, my parents are also Mithya. The what is a marriage is also Mithya. Then what would I do? My parents, like, I don't care who you are. This is my life. I want to remember Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya. If that means I have to take sannyas, if that means I have to go to Himalaya, if that means I have to break the relationship between you and me, well and good, it doesn't matter. I am your mother. I have brought you up since you were a very small kid. I'm your father. I've given you a lot of money. I have brought you to this state. Don't you have any responsibility towards me? Don't you have any duty to me? The moment a person speaks about duty and responsibility and says, I brought you up, it has become a business. And the relationship between a father and a mother and their children is not business. The moment you try to dictate terms and blackmail emotionally by telling I have brought you up, it becomes a business. And we all know what is business. Business means it's my whatever, or when A and B are doing business, both look for their welfare, their whatever best they can get. That means that very moment the sanctity of the relationship has gone. When the sanctity of the relationship has gone, they are no longer parents. When they are no longer parents, why do you want to care about it? So that means you don't even need to go to Jagan Mithya. Without going to Jagan Mithya itself, you can say, okay, what parent you are? You're speaking about this. You're speaking about business. Oh, this, what? Is this business? It's not business. It's my love that I brought you up. If it was love that you gave me protection and took me to this particular state or this particular place that I am today, if it is love, then you will care about what I want and not what the world wants from a person or what society wants or what you want. That very moment the love goes, that very moment it says that it's not love. Again, you can go back. It's very easy for this to refute it, very easy, because parents don't create children because they love children. We know that children are born due to sexual activity. Sexual activity is not because of love to create children, but it's because of desire. People have sexual desires, they and do have sexual activity and then children are born. Nobody has sexual activity just for children. It may be very rare cases. So it's impossible. So that means there is no love there, it's only kamam there, or desire in the form of sexual desire. So vikshepam, such vikshepams or distractions are very easy to overcome. And then rasasvadam is when you think you have realized when you are not sadhana nirmukta. That's the reason why Shankara very beautifully gives those three terms of sadhana nirmukta, siddha, yogirat. So yogirat itself means that the more and more you try to be a yogi, you will get rid of these relationships. My parents say something, it doesn't matter. I want to maintain equanimity. That means I don't care whether I get siddhi or asiddhi from them. I don't care whether they give me good words or they give me bad words. The more and more we try to get good name for others, It's impossible. It's impossible to pacify a person. If we cannot pacify our own mind, how can we try to pacify others? My friend is like asking that I should drop him at the airport. I'll do that today. But just because I do that today, I'll get a good name from him. That's fine. But tomorrow, he asked me to drop and I say like, I have to go somewhere. Urgently, I have to go. Then the very next day, the good name becomes bad name. That's the reason why Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, Art of Living Sri Sri Ravi Shankar says that we shouldn't make ourselves a football of other people's opinion. It's a very, very, very important Vedantic statement that, like, the more we try to justify others, we are making ourselves a football to be tossed between here and there. And like Vedantic import is when the moment you try to justify others, you are considering them as real, as well as your relationship with them to be real and yourselves to be real. That means you are considering Jagat as Satyam. The more and more you consider Jagat as Satyam, you are away from Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, you get deluded. So Rasaswadam is when you think you are realized, you don't have Sadhana Mukti Siddhi or Yoga. So that is when you think you are realized because you gain some bliss out of it. I meet Amma once a month, and because of that I feel that I am blissful and therefore I am realized. If somebody says, okay, I won't meet Amma, why? I am realized. I won't go to this place because my roommate doesn't want to. If somebody says, then there is Rasaswadan as well as other things as well. And then finally, Shunyata. Shunyata is when Shunyata, or like it's a state of blankness when you temporarily merge into Brahman but you are not aware of it. So that's what initially happens when you try to be Brahman, when you are always contemplating on Brahman, when you are in a state of Samadhi, you will go into that state. You will either have Rasaswadam, that means you are aware but you have like temporary bliss. And when you merge into Brahman, temporarily there will be a state of blankness. And that blankness is not Brahman. But Brahman is a state where you have awareness. So the blankness is just before Brahman. So even in the creation theories, so when creation starts, Brahman, a veil veils Brahman. So that is why it's called after Brahman. Or Maya, when Maya comes associated with Brahman, Brahman becomes Ishvara, then there is a state of Avyaktam, or a state of undifferentiated state, or Avyakritam, undifferentiated, unmanifested state. So it's a state after that Mahatattvam or Brahma gets created. So in any creation, like it's from one thing to a state of blankness and then into a state of being really manifest. So that intermediate, when you go back to Brahman, it's also from the manifested state to the unmanifested to Brahman. So the unmanifested state can be called to be the state of Shunya, which was considered to be the reality by followers, one set of followers of Buddha, the Shunyavada or Madhyamaka school of Buddha, Buddhist school, one of the famous Buddhist school. So they considered it to be real. But it is beyond that. Brahman is that state where you are aware of. And that's what Shankara would say in the next shloka, that Shunyam. If you think that, okay, everything is Brahman, there is only one. If there is only one, then it's a state of blank. You don't have any feeling, that is wrong. Because when you say it's a state of blank, that means you yourself are not there. When you speak about blankness or voidness, it's a state when everything is not there. But here we only say that everything vanishes into one. So that one will be there, because without that one, nothing is possible. Even when I speak about Shunyam, even when I speak about blank, that means I am there to speak about blank. If everything is blank, then I myself will not be there. If I am not there, then how can I experience blankness? How can I speak about blankness? How can I say blankness will give bliss? If only the state of non-existence would give bliss to people, then everybody will be going towards this. The reason why people fear death The most is because it is a state of non-existence. They consider it that death, or when I die, my existence vanishes. So that itself gives fear to majority of people. So that itself means that we don't want to non-exist. So non-existence is not something which will give us bliss. And that is the state of shunyam. So if shunyam can give us bliss, then death will give us bliss. It doesn't. So shunyam, or a state of non-existence, is not bliss. It is when it is only a temporary state. The minute you are aware that nothing is there and I alone am there, that is realization state. So just because Vedanta preaches about everything vanishing, it doesn't say that everything vanishes into a state of shunyam or void, but it is a state of existence. It's not a state of non-existence. It is a state of existence. It is a state of awareness. So if you want to, before the next day, when we discuss the next shloka where Shankara differentiates Shunyam and Brahman, or Brahman, our philosophy, and Shunyavada, you can go through the Shunyavada and Mayavada thread, which is quite huge or quite large. So it's there in our blog. You can go through that. It's a bit logical. It would take some time to understand, but it's like answering the objections of the Dvaita philosophy, or the followers of Dvaita, that Mayavadam or Advaitam is same as Shunyavadam. So there is a difference between both. That's what it proves there. So you can go through that. It's a bit logical analysis, but still it will be good to understand that it's not the same. But here Shankara says Shunyata, the state of Shunyam. If somebody feels that he is into a state of blankness, okay, I went to this Mahatma, that's the reason why Amma in Michigan spoke about it. I went to the Mahatma and I got an experience. What is that? So it was a blank state. I cannot speak about it because I didn't have any awareness. So that's not realization, because in realization you have complete awareness. Satchidanandam, it is Sat. There is existence there. Not just existence, chit is also there. You are conscious of your existence. You are aware of your existence. That is what gives anandam. Anandam is when you are aware of your sat. What is sat? Your state of Brahman. Your state of realized state. That is what gives you bliss. And so shunyam is also an obstacle. So all these obstacles, tyajyam, vigna bahulyam, it is big or unavoidable obstacles, but still you can avoid it. And shanaihi brahma vidathyajim, we have to renounce it. So when we undergo samadhi, we may already have gone through many of these obstacles, or we are going through many of these obstacles. We should overcome it as is required, or as we have discussed. We'll continue with what Shankara speaks about Shunyavadam and Brahman and Shunyam in the next day. Hari Om.